It's the internet. You're busy. Let's do this. Welcome to the Games Beat Decides podcast. This is the podcast where we decide everything in the world of games so you don't have to think for yourself. I'm your host, Jeffrey Grubb, and with me is
Mike Minotti.
You already got a pretty bad delay here, Mike, on Zencastr.
That time I froze.
You froze. Okay. Well, you know,
and then you said my name and I panicked.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. I still feel like I'm like still like uncertain about Zencastr, but I'm happy to chalk it up to just your incompetency. That works for me too. Today's episode, we have news. We have games. We'll get to all that stuff. I guess, Mike, how you doing? How's this week going for you?
Oh, it's terrible. Somebody gave a game I didn't play a decent score instead of a great one.
Yeah, that's been my week. I liked the game, and people weren't happy with that. Maybe we should just like get Returnal out of the way now, because I think there's going to be people showing up in the live chat and people wanting to hear about that a little bit. I guess we could talk about it now.
I guess we should lead with Returnal. Jeff, don't you love it when you're the news?
Yeah. Yes. It's so weird because it's like it's nothing in my life changed. I don't feel different. But now when I do stuff, it always ends up going this way. And it's like, oh, yeah, I got to remember, like, shit's going to go weird if I write something. So I'm loving it. I guess let's do the credits real quick and then we'll talk about Returnal. Thank you for joining us. You can get more from me and Mike at gamesbeat.com. If you have something to share with us, email us games+podcast@venturebeat.com. That's the plus sign. If you do that, if you're mad at me, my boss will see it too. So try to get me fired. People have been trying that all week as well. Thank you to Carlos Ayin, who is Insane in the Rain Music on YouTube for the use of my theme song, for use of our theme song. And if you're listening to this on YouTube or the website player widget, you can subscribe to the audio version of the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever pods are caught. If you like the show, rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. It helps the show. If you're on YouTube right now, give us a thumbs up. That also helps a lot. Join the Discord. The link is in the description, both on the podcast version and the YouTube version. And then you could support this show by going to patreon.com/Jeff Grubb. That gets you access to some special stuff inside the Discord. The Discord's free to join, but there's like some secret channels in there. The details are in the Discord if you want to just join that and go from there. Okay. I like Returnal, Mike. I thought it was I did not like it enough, apparently. So I feel like it's not going to be too wild of a take in a couple of weeks. I bet a lot of people are going to feel this way. And I bet that over time, as the game gets updated and they respond to some criticism, the developers will have shown that they agree with this stuff to a certain extent as well, because I feel like this game has got a really good foundation where it plays well. It feels pretty good. I don't know if the dodging always exactly feels great, and I fell off the edge a bunch of times because you're looking up at enemies, and yet there's gaps beneath you. And I guess you're supposed to learn the level so well because you're playing them over and over again to just know that there are gaps there. That doesn't make it any less frustrating. But for the most part, it feels good to move around. It feels good to shoot. The problem is just that the structure of being a roguelite game where you are playing these things over and over, that can work really well, like learning skills over that time and like getting familiar with your environment and with the way the game works. That stuff can work as long as you feel like you're making progress and as long as a run can feel memorable. And this game, just that's where it drops the ball. Every run feels very samey because your builds always feel the same. You're pretty much just always shooting and dodging and melee attacking, and different weapons don't really mix that stuff up too much. And even as you like are getting builds that like are pretty good at using melee or something, you're still going to be in most situations like, okay, you're just going to use melee when you're supposed to use melee in the combat. It's not like you're going to suddenly just change to an all melee build. That's not how it's going to work. And so it got boring. Like, yeah, it's like hard. And like getting over that difficulty hump was a challenge. But like the worst part about it was that it was boring and I wanted to stop playing it because of that. But that was just that once I got over that, it was still a pretty good game that I liked. It's just this like really like a drab middle part that made it difficult. But, I don't know. I think most people are going to play it and kind of, I think most people are going to end up agreeing with me. I don't know. But
well, that's what happened right with Cyberpunk, right? Was you gave that a 3 out of 5 and it was like the lowest score and everyone freaked out at you because they didn't play it and they were very mad because they were, I don't know what skin they had in that game exactly, but they were very mad.
They made the game. Yeah.
Right. And now, you know, it's everyone hates Cyberpunk. And I even tweeted that. And some people were like, oh, yeah, we were all mad at him because how could he give a game the score that high? I was like, to be clear, you were all mad at him because it was the lowest score. Like, that's what happened
with
Cyberpunk. I mean, it's bad faith anyways, because no one really cares about your opinion, really, or what you think about the game. They're just mad because you're the lowest score, and because there's been this completely unjustified perception that you are anti-Sony, and now this just feeds into that because you were honest about
it. I asked to review this game when you got the code because I'm like, oh man, I bet it's going to be good. And I wanted to like give a good score to a Sony game so people would stop pounding me about this.
How'd that work out for you?
That worked out super well. That worked out really well. That was the biggest problem. Like, as I was going through it, I'm like, man, I'm going to give this game a 3 out of 5, I think. And people are probably, they might be mad. I bet I won't be the lowest score. And of course I was the lowest score, Mike. Of course. That's always right. Helped.
Well, you sabotaged it because you knew what everyone else was going to give it, because we know those things. So you decided to give it a lower score so that you could specifically lower the Metacritic, because that's important to you. And that was your goal. Look, I'll tell you what. You never want to be the lowest score. It is not fun. It's awful.
It sucks. I was thinking like there would be a lot of other scores around that there. But here's the thing. A lot of the other reviews sound a lot like mine. A lot of the same complaints. A lot of people talking about the sameness. All the unscored reviews all are actually more critical than mine. Like,
yes, like Washington Post sounds a lot like your review, and they did Vice, score
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Waypoint One, yes. Like, it's like, all right. I mean, I'm not trying to be like, oh, like scores make people kind of want to be a little bit gentler. I don't necessarily think that, but it's just like you look around a little bit further than just what you know. And that's like I love Marlon. I've been on his show, Marlon Gaming Nation or whatever, and right before this I bet Marlon taught, he has this video yesterday about the state of play, and he's like gonna read the Returnal reviews, and of course he comes across mine, and like he read one sentence where it was like, oh, he struggled. Oh, he didn't like it because it was hard. And that was it. That was the end of the story. I'm like, did you read the next sentence? And he didn't. He didn't. He read monotony as monotony, which very funny to me. But I'm like, okay, this is kind of what's happening is they're reading one sentence. Like,
right,
they want to be mad at it. That's enough for them to be mad and whatever.
A lot of people glopped onto the whole you said it was hard things, and it was like, oh, game journalists is bad at games thing, which, you know, they can try it. They're welcome to try to beat your Astro's playroom speed
for real. And it's like the game, in the entire review did I say the difficulty is the problem. Difficulty in a game like this is a good thing for the most part for most people. It means that like you do have a reason to keep trying to get better at the game. If it wasn't difficult, that would be an issue. The problem is that it's monotonous and it's tedious, and it doesn't, there's just no, like, it's not memorable because everything always feels the same. And it doesn't, that part, that stuff just really doesn't work for me. Right. But
worried about the Metacritic score. I mean, there's 87 reviews of this game right now posted on Metacritic. Like, you're not doing, like, that's why it's an average, so that one thing can't, quote unquote, tank it, which isn't really what's happening anyways here. You know, I don't blame Metacritic like some people do, but Metacritic's a tool. It's fine, whatever. I blame people for taking it very seriously. I blame developers for taking it way too seriously and basing bonus structures off of it. And I blame some of these people on Reddit and Twitter and wherever who just like they treat it as some kind of like, you know, game. Like there's, you know, Reset Era, which I know they're our biggest fans, but like the review love score you. Thread there, they're like they're almost like congratulating themselves that the game got a good Metacritic, like they made the game or something. It's like, geez, guys.
If they want to like criticize games journalists or whatever, for the most part I'll be like, okay, that's fine, do that, I get it. My job half the time is criticizing games, and developers never really whine to me about that. So I'm going to try to do my best to like let people whine to me about the stuff I'm doing. You're not paying for it. I think it's a little bit different, but whatever. But yeah, there's still like, that's like this, all this stuff doesn't count the separate alt-right trolls that were attacking Dia. And then I'm like, I'll say something about this. And I'm like, oh, this is just making it worse. So I deleted that. But of course, then it's like, oh, Jeff called anyone who doesn't agree with him alt-right trolls and not people. I'm like, nope, Just the alt-right trolls are not people. That's it. I was just talking about them. You can clearly go see them over here. They're all right here. Take a look at them. Yeah.
The one was an alt-right troll. He was the CEO of Anime Thighs, is what his Twitter profile said. Jeff, take him seriously. We got an email today. Somebody was, man, it's a long email with a lot of your tweets that he didn't like, and most of them are just that he took your like saying that you are people to some alt-right trolls. As you dehumanizing people. Also, something about you DMCAing a tweet in 2018 that they're now desperately trying to use as some reason for why you're evil. What even is that about?
I thought I could reason with someone, and I'm like, listen, I'm just going to, like, you are screenshotting my stuff to take out of context, and you can continue to do that as long as you add a link. Because this is my content, I can like stipulate that. And so I'm going to DMCA it until you add a link. And the person that I did this to was pretty understanding. And we did eventually come to an agreement. And we're fine. And we're actually pretty cool now. But everyone else was like, oh, my God, Jeff weaponized DMCA. And it was like, I shouldn't have done it. Because clearly that's what people are going to see it as. But it was. And they were like, oh, he's trying to use it to silence criticism. I'm like, I get criticized all the time and I don't do this. And I clearly said right away, continue to criticize me, just add a link. I just want you to link to my stuff so people could read it for themselves instead of just the out of context stuff. But whatever. It was like the ESA, the Electronic Frontier Foundation like wrote about it. So there's like an article about me if you try to like look me up. And so that's where these people are still getting it from. And I got an argument with the EFF guy about I think this is a pretty fair thing. This is my stuff. I can kind of stipulate whatever I want for how people are going to use it. If they are going to copy it to another thing, and it's not that big a deal. And I wasn't actually trying to silence anyone, clearly, as I said right here from the beginning, but whatever. It was a silly thing. I wish I would never done it in the first place, but of course it's going to always come up. Like the only people that care about it now are going to be people that are looking for anything.
It's bad faith. It's just like that stupid picture of you with the Xbox Series X that is clearly a joke. The one thing, so, you know, the reason we switched our review scale from a 1 to 100 to a 1 to 5 is because, you know, it's like, well, like we can make these each number meaningful. And the idea was like, we almost never gave out like 60s or 70s, right? It was like a lot of problems is a lot of people. Our scale is like 80 to 100 because we're a small staff. And most of the time we're reviewing big games that at least someone on the staff is looking forward to. So I'm like, here, we can use 3 out of 5s now, because a 3 out of 5 is a good game that has problems. A 4 out of 5 is like a great game. And a 5 out of 5 is like something you feel very strongly about. And of course, you know, Metacritic is just going to literally math it and say, well, 3 out of 5 means a 60 out of 100. And people would then just equate that to like the time they got a 60% on their math quiz in the 9th grade. Right. Like, and it's not really that. It doesn't really translate to that. But it really shouldn't. Like, what are you getting upset about anyways? And the best is, my favorite was, and this is like straight out of the I'm Mad at a Review playbook, where they then go through the history of that reviewer's reviews to find some game that like is bad, that they liked more, and be like, this person liked Sonic Forces more than they like, you know, Crash Bandicoot or whatever. But in this case, the first it was, Jeff Grubb gave The Medium a 100 and he gave Returnal a 60. And I saw that. I was like, Jeff didn't review The Medium. And then I was thinking about maybe Dean did. And then I looked, I'm like, our site didn't review The Medium. So I was looking like, where is this coming? Because everyone was saying this. And I was like, okay. And I thought it was just like, guys, we never reviewed that game. So then the next one was, well, Jeff gave ReCore a better score. ReCore from like, what is that, 7 years ago? And you didn't review it. I did.
So we
got back to ReCore.
So it's still happening. It's still happening today. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be one of those things that no matter how many times I say it, they're just going to be like, always assume. They saw it in a picture somewhere on a forum post or in their Discords or whatever. So they're always going to believe I reviewed The Medium and ReCore. And it's like, okay, well, that's, you know,
they're going to Crackdown 3 now, which you wrote about. I don't think you gave it a scored review, did you? But also,
no, it wasn't a review at all. It was just an opinion piece. And I played it for like a couple hours and was like, this is fun. I like this.
Also, on Microsoft game. So, like, now they're mad that you liked the bad Microsoft game more than the Sony game, but you're a fan. I mean, look, they're all, it's, the whole thing is annoying because it's all very clearly, they're just mad that you gave a Sony game its lowest score. That's all it is, and they're going to come up with a million other reasons why, like, some people are like, oh, well, just being unprofessional on Twitter, and that's a bad thing. Like, you don't care about how professional Jeff is on Twitter. You have absolutely no interest in that. You're mad because he gave Returnal a 60. So, you know, and it's right, and we should, maybe we give it too much attention. Maybe we shouldn't even be talking about it. Maybe we shouldn't be tweeting at these people, but it's annoying. You know, and look, we love what we do. It's upsetting when people use misinformation as a way to either hate us or to encourage other people to dislike us. And, you know, I'm human. I don't want to be disliked, really. So I get frustrated and maybe I try to correct people or maybe I get into fights that I shouldn't. But it's annoying. And I think when you do look at it in a larger scale, you can see, OK, these are just it is a small, very stupid percentage of people. And they're going to be like that, whatever. There's no reason for it right now. PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X are both doing very good, and they are both very good. So it's just bizarre that the fanboyism seems to be almost as bad as it's been in a long time, because there's no reason for it.
Yeah, I try to have some understanding, because, again, like, and this is what I wrote about a little bit in that story about Jim Ryan, where I get the anxiety. People have spent a lot of money on systems, and that makes them want to make sure that they don't feel like they missed out by picking the wrong thing. And they want to feel like that investment paid off very quickly with a lot of games. And Returnal is one of those promises, right? A first party Sony game from a really respected studio making what looks like kind of like a big Sony style game. And you want that to deliver. And the thing is, it's a good game. It's a fun game. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy it. I think a lot of people are going to fall in love with it. But it's not enough. It's not enough to just like it yourself. You have to, in order, like, they're looking for validation because they want those feelings to go away. They want those doubts to go away. And anything that adds to those doubts, it needs to be fought off. It needs to be discouraged. That's what was happening with the preview. When I put up the preview and people were like, well, we got to get this Jeff guy and let him know what's going to happen if he gives it a bad review. And of course, that's what happened. But they're just, it is like, you know, white blood cells attacking this thing. That's like, okay, this thing, we don't like this thing. We got to stop it from happening because it makes us feel bad. And a lot of this is probably just kids, but, like, I don't know. There are a lot of grown ass men out there.
You see on their Twitter profiles and things that make it clear they aren't a kid. And it's like, that's when it gets really depressing. Yeah. But I don't know. What are you going to do?
They're not going to read the review.
The only thing we can do is maybe get rid of scores, right? Maybe that's something we do. And it's funny, right? Because everyone, you give it a low score, so you get all these views. I'd be so happy if a tenth of the amount of people read our reviews and didn't, you know, yell at us or actually read the substance of them. So I don't know. Maybe that's the next step here. We'll see. I don't necessarily want to have to do that, but maybe just for our own mental sanity, that has to be a thing someday. Let us know what you guys think about review scores. I don't know.
Yeah. I still like them. I still do.
I still think there's some use there. But, I mean, you know, there's people get real bit out of shape.
Yep. All right. So let's get to the news. And we'll start with the thing that some people are here for. I think I put it in the title here. IO Interactive's Project Dragon. We were kind of hearing maybe some rumblings about this. I think Jez mentioned, like, oh, keep an eye out for IO on one of his podcasts recently. Jez from Windows Central, then Windows Central put up a story about this and had some stuff in their video with Miles. Hi Miles. I heard about this recently as well. And I agree with the idea that maybe it's a bit too early to start talking about gameplay stuff. I will say that I've heard it's a fantasy RPG. And the thing I heard, just like a very small snippet in relations to like how it plays, is it's going to feel like a big, expensive sort of behind the back Diablo style game. But I wouldn't say, oh, it's just going to be a Diablo, but and again, these things could change, but I think they want to make a connected RPG that feels next gen, but still has its roots in a very good sort of like looter shooter sort of thing. Not obviously not shooter if it's fantasy, but this is years off though.
Not shooter, so. But the fantasy. You didn't play Harry Potter and the Deathly Hollows.
Well, you got me there,
Mike. Machine gun wand. That's good stuff.
Yeah, so I would expect that to be like 2024 or 2025 even. Like, it's a ways off. But, you know, it's cool that IO Interactive is, and, you know, for people that don't know, IO is the company that made Hitman. And so I love them. They're doing really cool stuff. This is very different for them, though. I guess, how are you feeling about that? Is it something you're excited about?
Real quick, I'm at the bottom of this drink, so it's about to get real loud, so let's just get that out of the way.
Yeah, let them do it, everybody. Cool.
All right, good stuff. Yeah, I'm in the same spot as you, where basically anything that IO Interactive makes, I am interested in. I mean, you know, if you had given me, like, you know, Carpe Diem here to pick their project, maybe I wouldn't have been like, fantasy game with dragons. But sure, whatever.
Yep. Yeah, it's and to be clear, I would not have talked about this at all had this stuff not leaked. I think it's too early, but it seems like everyone knew, and I think that's why Jez started talking about it in the first place, because it's like I was like starting to hear it from more than just like really connected sources. So it's like, okay, clearly this is going to get out there. So I guess we could just kind of talk about what we know now. So maybe this is something they tease soon, but I wouldn't expect it at E3. But maybe I could be wrong.
Well,
about
the last
that.
Time they teased a Dragon game, Microsoft at an E3, that didn't go super well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Scalebound the RPG now. Yes. I would expect this to go a little bit better than that. But yeah, there's not much else to say again because it's so far away. But I guess in terms of, you know, when will we see this? Yeah, I don't think it'll be at E3. I'm not sure though. Okay, we got some other news though. Mike, this week we got some earnings stuff. But before we get to that, I want to talk about your response to Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart at the State of Play. It looks pretty good, right?
That game looks amazing. That looks fantastic. I'm like in a Ratchet and Clank mood. If I didn't have some other things I needed to play, I'd almost maybe go back to some old ones. And I tell you what, it feels like this is going to be the biggest Ratchet and Clank game. Like, this is going to be the best-selling Ratchet and Clank game, right? It's everything is really coming into place where it's coming out really early for this system. It's going to be by far the biggest first-party release for the system since it launched, and it just looks fantastic. It looks more next-gen than anything else right now. Like, this game is in a fantastic position. I think that Insomniac Games and Sony are probably really excited about this. Now, I know that you hate Sony, so you probably disagree with me, but I hope that, you know, you can see my thinking on this.
Yeah, I can't wait to give this game a 2 out of 5, maybe even a 1 out of 5.
I'm reviewing this one. I'm not going to let you hurt this one.
Mike, you know that's going to get clipped out and used, right?
Good.
You know they're going to be like, see, his partner's trying to protect Sony because they know what Jeff will do.
Do you think that anyone will call me by my name or will I just be Jeff Grubb's co-host again?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Oh my God, these weirdos. I am very excited. That game looks wonderful. It looks so good. I can't believe how good it looks in terms of visuals. And then the gameplay just looks like it's going to be like kind of like a fun romp with a lot of interesting stuff. It looks like, you know, this is not new for Ratchet and Clank games, but they're just throwing everything in there and there's going to be so much variety. I guess the way that they're mixing things up this time is just like that variety seems it's going to come at you faster and faster because they can load stuff in so fast. So 1 second you literally are on one planet doing one thing. And then when you teleport to another planet in an instant, suddenly you could be doing something else. And boy, that just seems very, I don't know. It seems very exciting.
There's that moment during a boss fight in the demo where Ratchet's fighting some guy and a portal like takes him to some completely other planet and he's kind of like relieved for a second, but then like the boss comes through and another portal, he's like, oh no. And I'm like, man, there are some fun possibilities there. But like just like how dense and how fantastic and how pretty these levels look on top of all that portal stuff. And like the formula for Ratchet and Clank is just a lot of fun. It's probably the best 3D platformer franchise outside of Mario, really. So it feels like this whole franchise has been building up to this moment. Like, this is going to just be fantastic.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. When does this come out now? I for some reason,
June,
I thought it was like a
something, June. Something. June something, okay. Something, I believe.
That's going to be... That's going to be a hell of a month. We're going to have a bunch of E3 stuff and then that. Yeah, it's going to be... There always seems like there's one big game that releases around E3 time. I think normally it's like Nintendo or something. I guess they're going to have Mario Golf around that time, right? Mm-hmm. It's not nearly as big.
Mm-hmm. They Sony also did what Among Us is coming to PlayStation, so now that's going to be on all the platforms, which makes sense. And they showed up Subnautica. They also were smart to show those two first and then show Ratchet Click. They also did a very good job of like telling people what this state of play is going to be. Like, nobody was expecting a new game announcement or anything like that. So
no, yeah,
it worked out very well. June 11th is Ratchet.
Yeah, June 11th, okay. Thank you. Yes, they said exactly what it was. It's going to be Ratchet, like some time with Ratchet, and then two indie games, they said on Twitter, and that's exactly what it was. So that was a pretty cool showcase for Ratchet. I'm excited about that. But when we're talking about Ratchet, Mike, I can't help but think about Crash Bandicoot. And then that makes me think about the developer Toys for Bob, which has to be working on the next Crash Bandicoot after the excellent Crash 4, which I've been playing and really enjoying, Mike. So tell me, what's going on with Toys for Bob?
Yeah, no, they're just gonna also work on Call of Duty now.
What the fuck?
I guess I know. Like, oh my, this is even worse than what they did to Vicarious Visions. Like, at least they had to go to Blizzard, but they are still like making cool remakes, right? Like Diablo 2 looks very good. This is just literally throwing another log on the Call of Duty fire. And man, Toys for Bob did such great work on Crash Bandicoot 4 and fantastic work on the Spyro Reignited trilogy. Their in-game animation for like in like that kind of cartoon style is really second to nobody. I couldn't believe how good that stuff is. So this is very upsetting. And it's I don't think there's any reason for it except somebody looked at numbers and said, whoa, Call of Duty makes more money than Crash Bandicoot. So I don't know. Like, I'm not an economics genius, but at some point you have to have invested enough in Call of Duty. There's like 8 studios working on it. Like you can't just keep putting money into it and getting money out, right? It's not like when Frozen was a hit, Disney just said, well, Frozen's the only thing now. Pixar's making Frozen movies. Marvel's making Frozen movies, right? Like, that's not how it's supposed to work, but, and I get it, Call of Duty's huge, Warzone is huge, but there's gotta be diminishing returns. You can't just put everyone on it, or maybe you can.
Yeah, it seems like just a bad idea. I think it's something that we've repeatedly said here, that these companies just don't know what to do next. And therefore, all they really know what to do is to double down. And I guess in related to this story, Bobby Kotick did take a pay cut. That was a long time coming. It wasn't like, oh, man, things are bad, I'm going to take a pay cut. He's been overpaid for a very long time. And then finally, it sounds like the board of directors had enough and they're like, we're going to cut your pay. But I think, yes, Bobby Kotick, I'm sorry, I'm saying his name wrong. Getting a pay cut, it's not indicative of like, okay, well, we're going to get serious about this stuff and really figure out what we're going to do next. It just seems like, obviously, just more Call of Duty. And I think you're absolutely right that if they're putting all their eggs in this one basket and it's going to be okay for some time. And then if something goes wrong, they're going to be so shit out of luck. It will scare away the developers that want to work on other stuff. And those people that could start the next big thing for them. And yeah, they just don't know what to do with, they don't want to make games. That's not their answer. They don't want to make games. They just want to make Call of Duty. And, Call of Duty can be fun sometime, but it just, in terms of building a diverse business that's going to be able to weather various challenges in the future, it seems like this is working backwards and it's just going to look at us. You don't hear about this with Ubisoft, right?
No.
Ubisoft has a lot of different kinds of games. I know there's that Ubisoft model that kind of applies to everything, but they have a bunch of different studios working on a bunch of different stuff. And there's a lot of studios there that are just support studios and they float around from project to project. And sometimes studios move up and they start taking the lead on new projects. And it seems like Ubisoft has figured out a model for this kind of stuff that works. I get the need to have support studios. Making this high definition content is very expensive and time consuming, but then build your company to do that. Don't just rip a studio away that's doing good work to start doing stuff that feels very sort of like, I don't know, it feels like such a demotion for this company. And when I look at Activision, it makes me feel like this is a company that doesn't know what they're doing, doesn't really like games, doesn't really care about like giving a variety of games to gamers. It increases my bad feelings towards this company. So I know it's a bad move.
Yeah, it's weird. Look, I get it. Like Crash 4 didn't sell as well as the Insane Trilogy, but is that... is that really what their expectations were for? Was that it? It's had to do better than that or else it's a failure. And I mean, what were their metrics for Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1+2? I don't know. we know that Crash 4 showed up on the NPD list again when that Switch version came out. So it got a bump. It's got to be making money. It's baffling. It's upsetting. It's disappointing. I mean, and again, it's like, what is the, you have to invest in the future a little bit beyond just Call of Duty. Even Nintendo, which depends on old IP as much as anybody, they'll make a Splatoon or an ARMS or like a Labo or something every once in a while. Right? Even EA, like, invest in things like It Takes Two and stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't know. And, you know, they're not going to wake up until there's a drop in Call of Duty. And that's kind of the whole point of this, right? Is they're going to put so much money in Call of Duty that it will never drop because they know how desperately they depend on it. Yep. So I kind of hope for, you know, everyone involved there that, yeah, Call of Duty keeps being a hit, even though like that's like the weird conflicting thing here. It's like, well, at least Toys for Bob, like those people still do have jobs at all. At least they weren't just shut down, I guess. But
I guess
but it's just sad to see a studio that really brought something special to gaming just reduced to helping out on Call of Duty, which is not a game that seems like it needs help.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it was growing just fine without all this extra content. Like it seemed like the studios that were working on it were providing enough to satisfy that audience. But I guess they think maybe there's a chance for more growth. Or maybe one of the other studios just needs a break or needs more time. I don't know. I mean, either way, I feel bad about this. I wish this sort of thing would stop happening to cool studios. And my faith in Activision is nearing an all-time low. Okay. We have Microsoft earnings and PlayStation, Sony earnings. Let's start with Sony. PlayStation 5 has shipped 7.8 million units as of March. And that's just ahead of PlayStation 4, where PlayStation 4 was at through the same period. And what this tells me is that we aren't in some sort of historic drought for consoles. The demand is just so much higher than it's ever been. It's not like PS4 was selling out as well, but it feels like even harder to get a PS5. And the idea that there's the same or about the same or more PS5s just says, okay, there's more demand. Also, I think they've launched in more countries than they did at that point with the PS4, but still, just overall, demand for these consoles is as high as it's ever been, and that's why it's going to be hard to get these things. Just speaking to PS4 real quick, PS4, very successful console. It is coming to the end of its life now, obviously. They shipped another million PS4s during that quarter, the last quarter there. That's still respectable for a system at the end of its life, but PS4 is responsible for selling more software than any other console ever. So like the PS2 had 150 million hardware units sold, but PS4, people bought way more games, and that is way more important to Sony and developers and everything like that. Making it probably, I think I would probably describe it as maybe the most successful console of all time. I think it's probably hard to argue that. Speaking to this point, this may be a little bit of a tangent. In Epic Games' lawsuit with Apple, Epic revealed that Fortnite makes more money from PS4 than from any other platform. And it's like 45% of its cash comes from PS4, about 28% comes from Xbox, and then everything else is like pretty far behind that. And Apple, like the iOS platform, is very low on that list. I guess to speak to the future, Sony said it's going to invest $180 million into expanding first-party development internally. And then they also said they're going to expand the kind of first-party publishing deals, like the one they have with Jade Raymond. They're going to do more of those as well. So a lot more first-party games. I guess, how are you feeling about Sony's financials, Mike?
Good. Yeah, I think they made a great system and people are responding to it well, and they seem ready to invest in more games. I feel better than, you know, a couple weeks ago when we were all kind of thinking about, you know, people turning into Naughty Dog support studios, right? Right. So I feel better than I did a couple weeks ago. I think Sony is going to be just fine.
They're making a lot of money. And yeah, I think it's one of the reasons why Jim Ryan is so quiet is that, you know, he's kind of answering to the people he needs to be answering to with the exact answers they want to hear, which is, we're making a lot of money for you.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if Ratchet and Clank is like a really big hit. If we see more of those 3D platformer franchises come back, we see Sly, or, you know, I don't know if Naughty Dog is going to make Jack and Daxter, but maybe someone else can. I don't know. It'll be interesting. I do hope we get that Astro's Playroom sequel that is like a full blown game, right? Like,
yes, I really hope for that too. I wonder if Asobi would do that, because Asobi definitely seems like they are supposed to be doing research and development for tech, and that's how Astro's Playroom got made in the first place. Or I wonder if they like handed off to one of these other studios that has done so, like that Sackboy studio that handled it for
for Media Molecule.
Yes, thank you. But either way, I would like, maybe as long as Asobi is sort of leading creatively on that, and then some other studio does a lot of the work, I think I'd be fine with that.
I mean, there might not be anything Asobi needs to do that kind of work for right now, right? The console's out. I mean, I know the next PlayStation VR thing's coming out, but it's going to be, VR.
Good point.
We know.
No, I think, I hope you're right, because I would love to see them take the lead on something like that. That would be fantastic. To speak to Xbox, the earnings, they don't provide as much detail, but they said their gaming revenue grew 50% year over year, and games and services revenue grew 34%, and that was because of strong software sales, but also because of Game Pass. This is the best quarter Microsoft ever had. A big part of that is they bought Bethesda, and then all that revenue counted towards this for the first time ever, so of course they're going to have the best quarter ever. I guess everyone's making money is what it seems like is the short story.
Yeah, everyone's very successful and they're doing well, so you should definitely pick a side and get very mad.
I think that's the way to handle this situation as just a mature adult person. Absolutely. Mike, I got some questions here from our Patreon subscribers, but do you want to give me some super chats first?
I absolutely want to do that. Let me get my glasses on, because, yeah, we got quite a few. Starting with Mattathias, he just asked, when will the gamers go away?
We're working on it, man. We're working. Yeah. I'm coming up with a plan. I'll see what I could do.
It's going to be like one of those bad, like Tom Clancy plots. We're going to make a virus that only attacks gamers. Yes.
It only activates if you also have gamer fuel in your system. Exactly. Yeah.
$2 from, we're not saying them. No, I don't know how much he sent.
You can if you want.
I don't want to. I want to make you happy, Jeff. Jedi Moss 4. What is your favorite weird Nintendo peripheral? Man, how weird can we get here? I mean, like, the first things that come to my mind are the e-reader with the cards, which was cumbersome, and then the Game Boy Advance Link cable for the GameCube, which was great for that Pac-Man game. But
I'm looking at a list from NintendoLife.com, 30 weird and wonderful peripherals from Nintendo's history. There's the NES Max.
The Donkey Kong bongos were fantastic. They were
that was gonna two be, games. That was gonna be mine. Yep.
And they are, but those two games are great. Like Donkey Kong is a good rhythm game, and then Jungle Beat is a cool 2D platformer.
Yes, I love both those games a lot. I did like the Super Scope, but maybe just because it was like right in that time when I finally got a TV in my room. It was a black and white TV that I got out of the basement and put it in my room.
Well, I didn't know you were poor trash.
I know. My mother grew up poor, and so she never got rid of anything. And so we had like stuff like old black and white TVs in our basement that I could use. And then I played Yoshi's Safari on it. But I wasn't complaining. I was so happy to have a TV in my room. Like I didn't care it was black and white. I watched the Olympics on there. David Letterman. I somehow saw my first Mystery Science Theater 3000 episode on there, airing on like TV in black and white. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And I didn't find out what it was until years later.
Here's a question. Now, what's your favorite MST3K episode?
If I just had to say it like off the cuff, it's probably Hobgoblins. I was a Mike guy. But Hobgoblins is just such a weird, dumb, really bad movie. And the riffs on that one are just so good. They really nail that one. But there's some other ones, but probably Hobgoblins.
I'd probably go with The Final Sacrifice with Roz Dower.
A lot too, yeah.
With Roz Dower. Yep. And the Gamera is awesome.
Yeah, I Overdrawn at the Memory Bank with Raul Julia is great too. Yes. Like that, yeah.
Yes. I always forget whoa, huge slam on Anteaters out of nowhere. I don't know why I remember that line from Overdrawn at the Memory Bank. That's the one. All right. Anyways, you're ready for the next chat.
Yeah, we're getting off the Game Boy printer, and then you can get back to the Super Chats.
All right. Josh Tarpley wants you to know, Jeff, we are all playing Titanfall 2 on May 1st. Spread the word. Jeff, spread it. Spread it.
I'm going to play. I'll play. Mike, you want to come play video games with me on May 1st? You want to play Titanfall 2?
Yeah, right. I know. I know a trap when I hear one. You never play games with me. Alexandre R. Just passed by to like and support. Gotta watch the whole thing tomorrow. And by the way, Jeff, if you really were unbiased about Sony, you would have put the whole controller in your mouth like a real gamer. I agree with them. Oh my god.
All right. Done.
RDX, Son of a Fett. With Skip Ahead Alpha Xbox Insiders playing Steam on Xbox, you guys excited to play Horizon Zero Dawn on Xbox? I don't know if excited is the word. I think that's interesting that people can do that.
Yes, it'll be neat to see, and I will never do it.
Patrick Dennis, I learned how to do super chats. Hey, good job. You get a heart just for learning something new. Yeah. Mike, what kind of moisture levels are we looking at as Banjo fans? Feels dry, Mike. Real dry. Yeah, I think it's going to stay. You guys are going to be as dry as Gratilda's.
No.
I won't go there. But that's how dry it's going to be.
Wow. I mean, I'm glad that the joke was on brand for Banjo, but still, wow.
Gratilda's not even her name. Her name's Grundy. Gratilda is from Frozen.
Whatever. Gruntilda? I feel like Gruntilda. You were close enough. People are going to know what you meant.
Yeah, I shouldn't have called myself out. Well, I didn't want the gamers to be mad. I like the gamers to be mad at you, not at me. I played Banjo. I did that. I'm cool. Jeff said Ball and Wonderworld was better than The Last of Us 2. That's what Nick Turbo said in his super chat. what are you going to review a game worse than Ball and Wonderworld so people could be like, Jeff liked Ball and Wonderworld more than this?
Oh, man. That'll be a challenge, but I'll see what I can do. Yeah,
maybe you should review Ratchet and Clank and give it a 0 out of 5.
It's no Ball and Wonderworld. Yeah.
It's no Ball and Wonderworld. Well, I'll tell you what, it certainly won't be.
Yeah.
Mattathias, is Activision going to be an FPS only company? I mean, they're going to be a Call of Duty only company. Like, what else are they actually, like, aside from Blizzard, aside from King, what else, like, what other franchises does Activision have? Because they don't do Skylanders anymore. They don't do any of the music games.
You would say they're getting back into Tony Hawk and they're getting back into Crash and stuff, but clearly they're not.
Not anymore. Well, apparently there's a rumor, some kind of like Crash PvP game, whatever that means. I don't know.
Oh my God.
I don't know who's making it. Apparently not Toys for Bob. So they just made that Crash mobile game. So they're going to invest in Crash still, but not like they did with Crash 4, I don't think.
Right.
But yeah, it's really called Call of Duty. I can't think of anything else. Again, even EA knows, like, let's bring Skate back to make some people happy. But
right, yes, yeah, like, just build up some goodwill. I know that's a difficult thing to do. It's easier said than done, but I guess at least try. But yeah, I think, yeah, just a Call of Duty company.
Dan Becker says, looking forward to Jeff giving Halo Infinite a 3 out of 5 and sending the Xbox fanboys into a fury, posting his DualSense leak video as evidence of his bias. That'll be good.
That'll be a fun time. Yeah, I don't want to review that game because that'll be the same thing. Because I've never liked Halo games, so that'll go well.
Well, yes, that's the funniest thing too about people, like, you have Microsoft bias. Like, you don't even like Halo. You don't like Gears of War.
Yeah, I legitimately like Returnal more than most Microsoft games I could think of. I would struggle to think of one I like more than Returnal.
Georgie says, what's the deal with Xbox and Lucasfilm besides indie? Is there anything besides indie? Isn't that the extent of it?
What I've heard is that there's a lot of Lucasfilm Star Wars deals in the works. There's been rumblings about one with Microsoft. If we're going to hear about it, we'll hear about it soon. But Lucasfilm takes so long with these deals. These things are so complicated. So many people involved on so many different levels. The stuff has to fit it's not just like the lawyers and the people like signing the checks. Like, then you have to also include the people who write the stories. Like, the story group has to get involved and be like, does this even fit? Do we want to like be juggling this many projects? But apparently Lucasfilm does want a lot of Star Wars projects. That is one thing. It sounds like they have a lot happening. And it could very quickly start to feel like, that those old days where we got a lot of different Star Wars games. But I don't know how quickly that stuff's going to manifest. And I'm personally just not confident that we'll see a lot of these things, just because Lucasfilm is so difficult to work with. Hopefully they'll prove me wrong, and hopefully we'll find out more soon.
Lucius Augustus asks, can Halo Infinite succeed critically in a world where everyone's expectations for that game being above what is possible for most studios? I think Halo Infinite could still do well. I think some people's expectations have actually been lowered because, you know, this game had to be delayed a year, right? And I know, like me, I wonder, like, how much can you do in a year to fix a game, right, that was almost ready to ship? Like, what can be done here? And, you know, there's also people like me and Jeff that aren't really giant Halo fans anyway, so I don't know. But, yeah, I think for a lot of people, expectations are high, and maybe that won't play into their hands.
Any other super chats?
Yes, I thought you don't have anything you want to say about Halo Infinite?
I just that, yeah, I kind of agree with what you said. It's going to be...
I am very smart.
I think it's going to be able to succeed just based on, as long as they deliver what Halo fans want, like real Halo fans that have reasonable expectations. There are going to be people that want it to fight, to use it in their fanboy flame wars, and for them, it probably won't be enough. It just won't be enough. And then, if there's any flaws with it, it'll be used on the other side, be like, oh, look, Microsoft can't make any good games, whatever. But those are the people you're never going to satisfy no matter what. I do think there's a realistic audience that just wants to play good games. And as long as you deliver something that feels like that respects the player and has them in mind, like in terms of all the design and the game looks good and it's a showpiece, I think there's a good chance that the game could come out and do very well. Whether or not it's ever going to be able to compete with like Fortnite or something like that, I have no idea. That seems unrealistic.
Well, Taco says, if people complain about your review scores, why not remove the score and have the review speak for itself? Yeah, that's, we talked about that a little bit. Maybe I don't hate having scores there. I think they can be helpful for people. And I don't begrudge a person who, maybe doesn't want to read 900 words about a game and just wants to see a score and maybe read a little bit here and there, skim. That doesn't upset me. It's fine.
Yeah. And I like bristle at the idea of doing something because of the worst people. Like,
sure.
The worst people are going to react this way to scores. It's not like they're going to start reading the review if the score goes away. So really the best thing would be to just ignore those assholes and hopefully the score, or maybe because of those assholes, the score will find someone that it could help, where they'd be like, okay, I've seen a lot of praise for this game. Let me find the score that actually is the lowest and see if there's anything in there I should know about it to help me inform my purchase decision. And, I think our reviews tend to walk a line where they are both, they are both buy-in advice, but they're also like critical in terms of like the artwork and the art form. And we try to do both, but a lot of times when we put a score out there, it's with thinking like, if there's someone who doesn't have a lot of time in their life and they just want to make a quick decision, and they go to Metacritic and they see a bunch of scores and they're just going to peruse and they were like, okay, well, I saw the top score and I'm going to go look at the bottom one. Does it help them? That's who I'm thinking about a lot of time when I'm writing this stuff. And I don't want to take that stuff away from them. That could be a tool that could serve them, just because a bunch of shitheads can't understand what they're actually looking at, what they're reading. Like those kids are still going to be shitheads. So, oh well.
Matthias Ali says, love from Argentina. Hey, love back. Here's your heart. Do you think that a Dead Space trilogy remaster running at 60 FPS is going to come out at some point? Do you think it needs it? I think that's actually a trilogy that a remaster would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so. I think that seems reasonable. It seems like something EA would want to like pull as like a trump card when it needs something like good, when it needs some good news, kind of like it did with Skate 4. Just say, hey, we're going to go back, we're going to remaster Dead Space and kind of give this to the fans. Yeah, that could
be the only awkward thing there is that like Dead Space 3 isn't super popular, right? Like maybe they'll just do like Dead Space 1 and then do Dead Space 2 separately and then just not.
Yeah. It's like, right. But I think if they could also edit Dead Space 3 a little bit and really improve it, if they like think about the in-game economy and take out all the microtransactions, they could fix that game up a little bit.
Mattathias, Jeff, is Returnal better than Brute Force?
I've never played Brute Force, so yes, without a doubt. Yeah.
And last one here for now, RDX, son of a Fett. You find it weird that they care about the ability to buy games and then a month later announce Movie Pass?
I don't find it too weird. I think I was pretty bullish on Movie Pass. I think that's totally like, it's just an added feature that doesn't really hurt anything. We literally just heard, like, especially when we just heard Sony's financials say we are going to invest even more money in making games. This is just not the TV thing. It's very different. And to me, like, they're not, they're probably not going to raise the price of PlayStation Plus because of MoviePass if it ever does come anywhere else. Right now it's just in Poland, I think. And so it's like, it's just an added benefit. That's a good thing. So yeah, that's how I feel about it.
All right. That's it for the super chats for now.
Great. So I got some questions, and if you want to get in part, these questions, the best way to do that is join the Discord and then to follow the Patreon link there. And then you get into the podcast producers channel inside the server, and our podcast producers ask these questions. Let's start here with Nick Turbo. Do you think if UB Plus is added to Game Pass, will they give FPS boosts to those games just like they did with EA? Let me see, there's a little bit more. It is hard to play games like AC Odyssey and Far Cry 5 at 30 frames per second. I think that is, yes, I think even if those games don't end up in Game Pass, through Ubisoft Plus, they'll still get that boost. I think there's rumors right now that there's a lot more games that are going to get a boost. I haven't been able to confirm that. But I would imagine any game that can is soon going to start getting those. And I agree. I would love to see stuff like Far Cry 5 get a 60 frames per second boost. At least that would be fantastic.
Absolutely. Oh, you know, real quick, I did miss a super chat in the middle there.
Shoot.
So first off, sorry, Faisal 007. Probably also sorry, Gings. I probably say your name wrong every time. But you did ask Jeff specifically, do you think Xbox's E3 will be the best yet? I know you didn't ask me, but I think it will be. What about you, Jeff?
I think there's a good chance. I guess, I mean, what are the best Xbox E3s? I guess
that's a good question. I mean, I feel like they have a lot of decent ones, right? They don't have anything like that famous Sony one that everyone remembers as being amazing, right? Maybe. So
yes, they don't have that. So yeah, I think this is going to be comparable to that Sony one? I'm still not sold on that. I think that it seems like it's trending toward being even better, but I think the problem is they don't have a lot. I still don't think they're going to have a ton of surprises. It sounds like they're going to have a few more, but now those are starting to leak. So like, even if they were going to like tease that IOI game, which I don't think they will, like that stuff's starting to get out there. So that's going to be a little bit harder, but they could still make it like a pretty big deal. I think it's going to be a very solid show and likely, yes, probably the best Xbox One ever. I just want to keep in mind, I want to, like, when I say that, I feel like that's so easy to be like, let your expectations run wild. I feel like I'm not like promising the world when I say something like the best Xbox 3.3 showcase ever, because I think most of them have been kind of middle of the road. But it's still going to be very good. Yes.
All right. My mistake is fixed.
Thank you, Mike, for getting that. Let's see. This one's from Benji Bop. All right. Benji always does the nicknames. Let's see what he does this week. Happy Friday, Jeff. Rabbit tamer grub. That's right. I rescued a rabbit this week.
I found a dead rabbit in my garage.
That's really sad, Mike. I'm glad you brought it.
I got over it. Like that.
And Mike Jumbo, everyone Minotti. I don't get this one, Mike.
It's an Animal Kingdom reference. Yes, I do get that. If you like Disney World, you know what this shirt is for, then let me know if you recognize it, because I am proud of it.
And the shirt's backwards because of the way I have OBS set up. It says
electric umbrella.
Electric umbrella. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what that is either, Mike. Pajambo Everyone is going to be your new nickname, and I'll be Rabbit Tamer. And his question is, well, it's that time of year already. Diaper sales are skyrocketing after the internet gives a collective dump in their pants over a review. My question is, has Metacritic ruined the perception of reviews? 3 out of 5 stars are a good game, is completely reasonable, but when Metacritic turns that into a 60, I can understand why people all of a sudden think you hate a game. Think as always, have a great weekend. I mean, I think it's a chicken and egg situation. I think I said earlier, these kids are going to be shitheads no matter what. They will find something else to glom onto to be mad about. Metacritic doesn't help. I would point, if you want to feel good, if you want to be like more informed about the overall response to a game, I would use opencritic.com instead if I were you. That's just, they seem to do a better job. Like, you go to my review there, and it really is just a 3 stars bolded, and then there's a 5-star, you know, the whole scale is 5-star, and it's just like, looks so much clearly this is someone who likes the game. 3 out of 5 stars just looks better than 60 out of 100, of course. And Metacritic doesn't help, but it's still, it's not going to make these kids any better for the most part. All right, let's see here. Let me cross that one out. From Schaefer, did you really lick a PS5 controller? Did I hallucinate that? And a related follow-up question, is it really true that you hate Nintendo Switch games? Can you prove otherwise? I have a Joy-Con up my butt right now.
There you go. I will say it is weird. Like, the new Pokemon Snap is out, right? And, like, that's a game that if you would have asked me, I'd be like, yeah, oh, I want that. Yeah, they should make that. And now it's out. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to buy that.
I want to play it, but I don't know if I want to buy it either.
Yeah, it's a game I want to rent from Hollywood Video, and that is not an option anymore.
I really want to rent it from my local rental place. Yes, exactly. And yeah, of course. I guess, you know what? I could try a Redbox. Maybe the Redbox has
Is that a thing still? Does the Redbox still do games?
Whenever I go to Walmart, I see one. I guess maybe they're probably not in as many places, but I don't know. I'll have to check and see. I think they have Switch games sometimes too. Switch games are probably small enough to fit into that thing. All right, I'm crossing that one out. Let's see here. This one's from Low Rule. Is there a chance Xbox got full rights to Scalebound and asked IOI to work on that project? No.
I think we all have to let go of Scalebound. I'm sorry.
I know people are saying it's not Scalebound from what I've seen. The only thing we know is it's called Project Dragon. It's, Scalebound was a character action game from Platinum. That's not what this game is. That's not the pitch. Does something go wrong like some many years down the road and it turns into Scalebound? Still no, but maybe it turns into something else. But it's not going to be a character action game right now. That's not what they're making. All right. We got some from Ray Mogos. Let me cross that out. Okay. Buy one game, rent one game, and one game has to go away forever. Ori and the Will of the Wisp, Super Mario Odyssey, and Titanfall 2. Mike, what are you about to do?
I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm getting rid of Titanfall 2. I'm sorry. Those are two of my favorite games of all time.
You motherfucker!
I love Titanfall 2, Jeff. I do, but compared to those two, sorry. Oh, God. Even then, that's rough. I think I have to rent Ori and I have to own Mario. I think there's just more long-term stuff with Mario. That's rough, though. I can almost flip a coin there. But yeah, Titanfall's out. Now you can break my heart. Which one are you getting rid of?
I'm getting rid of Ori, Mike. I'm sorry, but yes, I am. It's Which not one? Revenge, but it still feels good. it doesn't feel good at all. I can't believe they
sent you that Ori music box before me, and now you just set the game to the end. I had to beg for this on Twitter. Shamelessly.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Only for the creator of the game to then go on Reset Era and talk about how he doesn't like game journalists. But I got my music box, so screw it.
Oh, man. All right, let's see. We got a few more. We got a couple more Nick Turbos. Let's get through these. Which E3 presentation are you guys most excited about this year? Also, how does it feel to be 63, Mr. Jeff Scrub? okay. So I'll answer the last part first. If you Google my name right now, it comes up and says I'm 63 with my picture, but it's referring to the fantasy author Jeff Grubb. But no one's going to care about that. They're just going to be like, look how old Jeff is. And I was putting on my headphones earlier. My hair kind of it's getting very white, and it didn't help this week with this Returnal thing. So it got even whiter.
I just trimmed my beard, but there was a lot of noticeable white on it. And my dad, like last week, I saw my dad and he was kind of distraught by how gray my beard was. Yeah, he almost was kind of like, you need to trim that because he didn't like looking at it.
That's very funny.
I didn't want to remind you of your mortality.
Yeah, mortality. Yeah, exactly. All right. And in terms of E3 presentations, which are you most excited for? Nintendo. Nintendo.
I'm always really excited about Nintendo. I will say, all three really isn't a Sony one, huh? But
I guess just include Sony will probably have something around that time.
Sony will do something, and that'll probably be exciting. And I don't know. I might actually be more excited for Microsoft this time just because I'm expecting more from them. Like, I'm almost letting myself be resigned to the fact that Nintendo is going to continue being a little slow with releases and they're not going to want to show things that are super far out. My expectations for Nintendo can always get so high, right? And I'm already being like, all right, I gotta get used to not seeing anything for Metroid and maybe not even like maybe seeing nothing for Breath of the Wild 2 somehow. I don't know. Hopefully we'll see something, but maybe not. It's Nintendo. So I guess the Nintendo scares me enough, whereas Microsoft seems like a pretty sure thing that that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I get that. I'm like the opposite right now, where I'm like not letting myself get excited about Microsoft because I feel like we know most of the stuff they're working on, and a lot of that stuff is very far off. Like Breath of the Wild 2 could still maybe released later this year.
And yeah, it could.
And if they come out and they go ham on that and it looks great, and then there's a bunch of other stuff, maybe I'm hopeful for like a 2D Metroid game. Like those two things alone would kind of put me over the top. If they if they do kind of anything extra, that would just be, you know, icing on the cake or whatever. But you know, I don't know. This is how I feel right now coming out of it. If Microsoft delivers in the way it's like seems like a lot of people think they might, and a lot of these make a lot of big partnerships, and you know, it's, and if, you know, I think like Forza Horizon 5, Starfield, and then Halo, that's a strong thing right there, especially Starfield could like win me over. But they have big surprises, like it sounds like they might. Then I'm going to, yeah, I'll probably be like, oh, I was happiest with Microsoft. I think the problem with for Sony is I can't imagine them doing anything that is more exciting to me than Ratchet and Clank right now. But that's just maybe that's a lack of my imagination more than anything. I'm just so excited for Ratchet and Clank.
We know Sony's next like objective after Ratchet and Clank is to sell people on Horizon Forbidden West,
right?
And you know,
and maybe right now, Final Fantasy 16 pretty soon. Yeah,
right. Final Fantasy 16. Right now, the big question is Horizon coming out this year? Right, that's what I think most people want to know from Sony. And there's even the question of when is Final Fantasy 16 coming out? Is that actually a 2021 game surprise, or is that next year?
All right, and then let's see a couple more from Nick Turbo, and then I think we got a few more super chats we could do, and then we'll talk about some games. So this is another from Nick. It was said that Balan Wonderworld was Yuji Naka's last chance at a 3D platformer. Do you think he will get back on his feet, or will he retire after the flop that was Balan Wonderworld? I hope he doesn't retire. I don't lay all of this at his feet necessarily. Like, yes, he's definitely responsible, especially working with the studio he worked with, Azrest. I can never remember how to say the name. But they've made bad games, and I bet his budget was such that like that's like the only studio really available that he could work with. But if he just maybe worked with a little bit more talent and was willing to kind of come back and try something different, not necessarily try to recapture glory days. It's not like he was always bad at making games or everything he's made was crap. It's just Balan Wonderworld is just especially bad. And I feel bad like trying to be like, okay, like it's a retirement match. You get a bad score from Jeff. Now you have to leave town. No, I hope he gets another chance to make something else. Maybe not a 3D platformer, yeah.
But Inafune up trying to make now? Because Inafune had some strikeouts with Recore and then Mighty No. 9, and like I don't know like what happened to him. But
I don't remember.
Yeah, whatever happens to him is, imagine what's going to be similar with Yuji Naka.
Yeah, I agree. From Nick, why do review sites like GameSpeed even have a numerical rating? We talked about this a little bit. It does seem like a good description of the quality of a game, and only starts fanboy wars like with Returnal. So yeah, we spoke to this one. Basically, when I'm putting a review score, especially on this 5-scale system, the 5-star scale is 3 out of 5 is I like it, and I'm imagining that it's very useful to the people I'm imagining, and it's not the fanboys. I'm never thinking about the fanboys. I'm thinking about someone who actually wants to read the review to get informed. And when you're doing that, it's way easier to be like, man, this is a good review I did here, and this number is going to help them like get an idea of like what to think as they're reading it, and try to get like, so when they're reading a negative, they're like, oh, it's not too negative because this is still 3 out of 5. And maybe those people aren't as plentiful as I'm imagining, or maybe they're just a lot quieter and just reading the review and then moving on with their lives, which I think is actually probably what's happening. So that's why we stick with the numbers. But if this keeps happening every time, if like I happen to end up with the lowest score just because we have a 3 out of 5 or a 5-star system, and fanboys keep getting mad at us, maybe we'll take away the scores. I'm not like married to them. I just happen to like them and think they're useful for some people. All right, Mike, that did it for the questions. Let me scroll down, make sure. Yeah, all right, that was the last question. That means, you have a few more super chats, right?
Sure, yeah. Well, Dorji just says, Jeff basically saying that Banjo is confirmed earlier, which is exactly what Jeff was saying, and what I want everybody to go tell all the news sites and all the YouTubers about, please. Basement Radio Arcade Podcast says, happy Friday, Jeff and Mike. Waiting for my refund. That's right. You offered refunds to anybody who was dissatisfied with your review, right?
Yeah, Brep. The check is I'm printing them out right now. Wait 6 to 8 weeks. And if you don't get anything, contact my customer service department.
Mattathias says, I've been playing more retro games recently than ever. I know Mike covers old stuff, but have either of you seen people close to you doing the same? Yeah, I think about, I have, like, my brothers have been using retro games as a way to kind of get their younger kids into gaming. I know my one brother has his like, three-year-old son playing around with, like, the SNES Classic and stuff like that. So I know that's popular. I don't know if I noticed anything super out of the ordinary, because, you know, I have a lot of friends like me, like some people who are still, I had to have a friend who has a GameCube because he still likes to play Mario Strikers, for example, and stuff like that.
We got a couple from RDX. Yes. We'll follow up with these.
Yeah, RDX Son of a Fett asks, you seriously don't think it's sketchy that PlayStation took away buying movies but adds a movie pass? Did they take away buying movies? I didn't really know that.
Yeah, they're going to. If they haven't done it yet, but like, no, I don't think it's sketchy. People weren't buying movies. People want to subscribe to services and get their movies through that. Like, that's not weird. That's just business. If that was where you were building your movie library, I don't blame you for being upset. But like, I just personally don't know anyone that was building their movie library through purchases on PlayStation. So it's hard for me to imagine that person.
Right. I mean, if they came in and like took away the movies you bought, maybe that would be sketchy. I don't know. But, and then, you know, he just followed up like, you like to own games, but not movies. A lot of people don't like to own games anymore. Right. We're seeing that a lot of people are buying the services.
Yeah. I don't, even me, I'm like, I moved on and did sort of doing a different job and stopped getting a lot of games as part of my job, I would still probably do mostly services and not buy many games, personally. Because I actually don't like having games in my house, but that's just me.
Mm-hmm. That's it for the Super Chats.
All right, great. Excellent. So if anyone does any more, we'll do it at the end of the show before we do the outro. But I wanted to... Oh, Mike, you haven't been playing on it. I'm just looking at it.
Yeah, but to say our show's almost done because you've been playing Returnal, which you talked about.
Yeah.
And I've been playing Final Fantasy. I've been playing Dragon Quest VIII. I'm still, you know, having fun with them, but I don't have anything super much to discuss here.
No, that's fine. You know what? We could wrap up the show. Let me do one quick thing. I'm going to hit this 2021 Game Informer. It's a very useful site. I'm going to look and see what's coming up. Let's see if there's anything to be excited about, Mike. What's the next big game that you're looking forward to playing? Other than Ratchet.
I don't know if I'm looking forward to it, but I know that there's a Resident Evil thingy coming out soon, huh?
Yeah, there's the big lady.
It'll be awkward if I'm the only person who can review it. Mike Minotti, known coward.
Did we get a code for it yet? I guess, can you say? I guess because I'm done with Returnal now, I can review it if it comes to it. I do want to try new Pokemon Snap. I'm just not sure. It got good reviews, right? It seemed like people liked it.
Yeah, it did. I don't know. I don't know why all of a sudden I'm like, now that I can own it, I'm like, maybe it's because I have, not I'm saying what, I do have something that I'm reviewing that I have to play anyways. And I'm also like playing a lot of Final Fantasy XIV. I'm in the middle of Dragon Quest. So like, that's already my bedtime game. So I don't know. I'll get to Pokemon Snap at some point.
I'm gonna look at these games real quick. Let's see. There is that. Okay. Do you remember what Hood Outlaws and Legends is?
No.
It's like a four player. It's like a team based sort of PvE VP game where you're trying to like steal a treasure from this place, but there's another team trying to do that. But then there's AI guards guarding the treasure or something like that. And it looks pretty interesting. I'll probably never play it because it's a game you can't pause, but I wish I had time for it.
Man, I forgot that.
Okay.
Famicom Detective. I don't know. Famicom Detective Club. That just looks like worse Phoenix Wright to me.
Yeah, no, I'm fascinated to see the reaction to that game. I don't think I'll have any interest to play it, but I want to see what people say about it. It's weird that they're doing that at all. I guess Mass Effect Legendary Edition.
That's a pretty big deal. Big deal. I wonder how they're going to handle review codes for that, because supposedly you would need a lot of time to play through three games, right?
Right.
I don't know. Like, that's almost just something I wanted to straight up be like, look, we're not going to, if we post a review, I'm not going to be like, play all three of these RPGs.
Yeah, that is a, let's just let Digital Foundry tell us about this sort of thing. Like, we'll let them tell us if the game looks nice. And
I already know what I think about those three games.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. Let's get through the end of May here. I'm probably going to play SnowRunner again when it comes to Switch.
Oh, right. I mean, I'm almost looking past things a little bit because I'm so excited for Ratchet and Clank June 11th. That's the big thing for me. That's what I'm really excited about.
So you're not even going to give Biomutant a chance is what you're trying to say to me.
That is what I am saying to you.
Biomutant's been in works for forever. I think it looks pretty good.
What? Okay. What is Biomutant?
I'm clicking the button. Let's see. Let's see if I can get anything here. It's taking forever to load, of course. It is.
Oh, Maneater's coming to Switch.
It's like this weird cat thing that has the sword. No. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I saw Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne HD. I kind of want to beat Dragon Quest 8 before then, so that could be my next RPG. That'll be fun.
Bye. All right. We could start wrapping up. Anyone in chat have any games they're looking forward to? Jeff is a SnowRunner fanboy. That is proof. Go ahead.
I saw Biomutant at GDC 2019, I think. I was sitting somewhere waiting for a demo, and it was just playing on a video on loop. So that's what I know that from.
Okay, I was like, I'm almost sure like at some point you've run across it just because it's been everywhere for so long, but yeah. Finally coming out. I'm pretty interested. Mattathias says, bring back BioFreaks, a game I rented for the N64 and played a little bit.
Wow.
Resident Evil Village is what Infernal Tim is looking forward to. Yeah, I'm going to try it, I think. I'll try
it. Am I a bad person for not calling it Resident Evil Village and calling it Resident Evil 8 every time?
No, they put the Roman numerals right there at the beginning. They wanted people to, like, make that.
They want people to, like, make that subconscious connection. Maybe they don't want me actually calling it Resident Evil 8. But
that's
I'm going
problem.
To.
They shouldn't have done the VIII thing.
I like numbers, damn it. I'm going to be sad when the next Mario Kart isn't Mario Kart 9, because it absolutely will not be.
Tunic, there was that demo on Steam for that, finally, out of nowhere. Did that get a release date? I hope Tunic's about to come out. That'd be great.
Obviously 7, PlayStation 5. You know, when I transferred my PlayStation 4 stuff to PlayStation 5, I lost my Final Fantasy 7 save file for some reason, so I have an excuse to play it again.
Yeah,
I didn't forget about Silksong. Silksong doesn't have a release date. I did not forget about Silksong. I love it. I'm super excited, but I don't know what's coming out.
All right, Mike, I'm going to hit the music, and that means we've got about a minute to do our outro. So why don't we start with you telling people where they could find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Tolkoto, TOLKOTO. Check out 90s Disney, my 90s Disney podcast. And tomorrow, our Rocketeer episode is dropping, which includes an interview with Danny Bilson, one of the movie's writers. So real excited about that. That movie is turning 30 years old in June. So I wanted to do something special for one of my favorite movies. So yeah, tomorrow, Rocketeer episode.
I'm excited about that. I'm Jeff Grubb on Twitter. You can find me there. Find all my stuff there. Join the Discord. Come hang out with us there. You'll find more links if you want to come. If you want to find me in more places, that's a good place to start. And then, I will have a new episode of How Games Make Money with one of the people who oversee the City Skylines game. It was a very fascinating conversation. Talked about 6 years of that game. Very strange to think about how old that game is now, but still going strong. We can check that stuff out and all more. And I think we got to wait for the music to pick up, Mike. So anything else? Anything else we should tell people about? I guess I'll have a Games Mess show next week on Tuesday.
You have a Games Mess show next week. Maybe you do those early. I sometimes don't make it there. I'll try to join live this next time.
I do that early on Tuesday mornings.
What should I say to this guy who wanted you fired? Oh, I already said something.
Tell him to try. They always think I'm going to do something. Like it's like they don't like my bosses don't know who I am. Like it's so it's so funny to me.
He linked like to a, like some like you know angry YouTube guy's video about your DMCA thing, and the video starts with a guy like doing this for like a minute, like and then even talking about this is so onerous for him.
Yeah, that genre of YouTuber is very funny.
It is a genre. It's like the apology video, right? Where like for some reason they always are like fiddling with the camera first.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's very very funny. All right, everybody,
I should not have drawn a dick on that statue. I'm so sorry.
All right, everybody, we're out of here. Have a good one. Till next time. Bye.